Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Aardvark Accessibility Podcast. This is episode 36. I'm Natalie Garza. I'm one of the co-hosts, and with me today is...
Natalie MacLees, the other co-host.
And she is a digital accessibility expert here to talk about today's topic, part two to last week's episode, adding digital accessibility to your web agency services. So last week, we talked about why that's important and why your clients might be asking for it now. And now we're going to talk about how to actually incorporate it into your services. So quick overview, what does it really mean to include accessibility into your digital services?
Yeah, so it is something that you want to start thinking about from the very beginning of the project. What it does not mean is buying a huge multi-site license to an accessibility overlay. That is not offering accessibility services and is not really fixing much of anything for anyone. So I think we have another episode where we went over overlays and why they need to be avoided, but their marketing is so ubiquitous and so persuasive and so pervasive that I feel like we have to keep saying it over and over again so that developers know, please do not consider that your solution for anything.
Yeah. And I will also tack onto this section, don't just offer accessibility as an add-on or an upgrade.
Yeah, it's really something that should be incorporated into every project and shouldn't be an option. It should just be the way that things are done.
Exactly. So we're going to go over that in this episode. But we wanted to lay out a few actionable steps and actionable things that you can do to your services. And the first one is breaking down what services you offer and start figuring out where accessibility fits in. Because it might not be obvious, but it most likely affects all your services.
Yes, it probably does. So if you are building websites for clients, then you need to become familiar with WCAG or WCAG, which is the Web Content Accessibility Guidelines. So most of the time you're going to be looking at AA compliance. So either 2.1 or 2.2, depending on exactly what you're doing. AA is where you want to be. So you do need to learn about what those requirements are and figure out how you can implement them on customer websites.
Yeah, so websites, I feel, is the most obvious because this whole podcast has really focused on websites and web audits and developers' websites and all that kind of jazz.
Yeah.
But there's less obvious ways accessibility incorporates into other services. Want to go down that list?
Sure. So we just recently did an episode on how accessibility and SEO overlap. So if you are offering SEO services, which a lot of agencies and freelancers do, you need to be thoughtful about accessibility there. Sometimes there's a temptation to do things for the robots first and what's best for SEO first, but you should always do what's best for people first. And the traffic will follow. So you want to make sure when you're adding alt text to images and choosing your link text and choosing headings and things like that, that you're not just solely focused on what's going to work best for the crawlers, but what's going to work best for people. And ultimately, that's the best approach for SEO anyway, because you are ultimately trying to get people to come to your website and use it and read it and not just the crawlers. When you're working on branding and identity, you definitely want to give some thought to accessibility. Make sure that you're choosing a color palette that's going to be at least reasonably okay to work with for accessibility. I know I've been on some projects where they didn't think about it. You know, they brought me in too late on a project and there was a color that they wanted to use with white text and it was just too light. It wasn't going to work. And it was a big, you know, it was a big thing to go back and revisit the branding and try to redo things. So do think about that. It's not that, like, if you try to make it so that every single color in your brand color palette works with either white or black text, you're just going to end up with a bunch of muddy midtones. So what you want to do instead is just be thoughtful, like have some colors that are light enough that they could be used with dark text, some colors that are dark enough that they could be used with white text, and just be thoughtful about how you use those throughout the design So you can't choose like a pale green or a pale yellow to put white text on, for example. So just giving that some thought at the point that you're, you know, hashing out what all the different color combinations are going to be, giving some thought to accessibility and ensuring that there's sufficient color contrast somewhere in there, right? Like you don't have to be able to put every color on top of every other color, but you do have to have at least a few different accessible color combinations.
For the branding and identity services, is the main concern readability?
The main concern is the legibility, basically, of text over a background color. Yeah, that's the main thing that you're working on there. There are also some concerns around color blindness. So if you choose, you know, like red and green or yellow and brown or like really common color blindness palettes, then some people might really struggle to see your content. So you want to be thoughtful about that too and give some thought to the different types of color blindness and how that might impact your color palette.
Okay. And also fonts.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice readable fonts instead of very highly stylized ones are always going to be a lot more friendly for everybody to read. But that becomes especially important for users who have reading or learning disabilities.
Okay. So branding and identity, make them legible.
Yeah.
Next, marketing.
So I think we could throw like social media in here, any kind of promotion that you're creating, whether it's printed or it's going to be somewhere online. Do give some thought to how that can be accessible. Make sure that you're adding alt text to images. Make sure that you have sufficient color contrast if you do put text over a background or text over an image. Just being thoughtful about how you do those things, like what link text you use, what links you use. We have episodes, I think, where we've gone over accessible social media. So just different things to keep in mind. And I do wish that both design and marketing professionals got training in accessibility. But of course, web developers and web designers don't even get that. So that'll be maybe at some point in the future that'll be included.
Mm-hmm. And even email content, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, your emails that you send out, because those are very often a real nightmare for accessibility. So giving some thought to the markup that you're using in those nicely designed marketing emails and ensuring that you've got color contrast and link text that means something and things like that. Yeah, all of that same stuff applies to emails.
Yeah, not as obvious, right?
Not as obvious. You don't always think of that as part of your part of your website or part of your online presence, but it absolutely is.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Next is website maintenance.
Yeah. So if you're a web agency or a freelancer and you're not offering maintenance packages to your clients, first think about adding that because it's a nice stream of income. And then also you avoid that situation where you build a lovely website and hand it over to a client and then they aren't sure how to do it and they end up making all kinds of mistakes and your work kind of goes to waste. So you can avoid that situation. Also build a nice income for yourself and provide a valuable service for your customers, right? They're not just out there struggling on their own trying to manage their website. And you can offer accessibility monitoring as part of that service. So there's all different stuff that you could include in maintenance, you know, if you've built on a platform like WordPress or Drupal where there's going to be updates that need to be done, those could be included. You could test their forms on a regular basis, make sure their SSL certificate stays up to date, make sure that when content gets updated, it's done in a proper and accessible way. So there's lots of different things that you could offer in that, but you could also run automated scans for accessibility issues on the site on a regular basis.
Yeah, mainly just trying to see, are their accessibility issues growing a lot? Are they pretty stable? I mean, it's not going to be a perfect picture, but it's going to give you some idea. Oh, maybe they're messing with their site and they're not doing things correctly.
Or they got a wild content editor who keeps putting pale pink text with white letters on it or something. Yeah.
So just a way to keep an eye on things, make sure things stay in line how you built it.
Yeah.
So those are just a few examples of services that you can incorporate accessibility into. And there's probably a lot more, and you would be surprised where accessibility still applies. So next, we want to talk about a concept called shifting left.
Yeah. So if you read a left to right language, I guess shifting left makes sense. If you think of the process of building a website, right? Like you have planning and then wireframes and then design and development and then launch. And you think of that as a linear process going from left to right. You want to put accessibility as early in that process as you can. So the first place people usually try to put it is at the end, like between the time that the website is done and launch, or even after launch, which is even worse. And it's so much more work and it's so much more expensive and takes so much longer to do it at that point. If you can move that earlier and you start thinking about accessibility during development, and maybe you put an accessibility linter into your CI/CD pipeline. So it's checking every commit that you're making on your code for possible accessibility issues. If you want to move it back to the design phase and you're doing some accessibility reviews of designs that are being done and ensuring that all of the color palettes that are being used are accessible and any color combinations used are accessible. And you want to move it back even further than that and start thinking about the best user experience and the most intuitive interfaces that you can at the wireframing stage, right? So that you're planning for that all along and including it in the process is the most efficient and the most cost-effective way of including accessibility into your process. So you want to look at where can we move this earlier and earlier in the process so that you're not scrambling to try to fix those accessibility issues at the very end of the process before the site launches, but you already feel confident at that point that you've done a pretty good job and what you're doing at the end is just some final checks.
Yeah, and by final checks, it's like quick scans, quick manual audits, but since it was baked in, it's not going to be that much.
Yeah, test it all along. Yeah.
All right. So shifting left. But if you're stuck, if you don't know where to even start with all this, what should an agency owner do?
Yeah, I would recommend hiring an accessibility consultant. They could help you review your process, figure out where you need to be injecting accessibility into that process. They could help train your team. They could help guide you through a project or two so that you could really understand, here's what we need to be doing if we want to build accessible projects. They could advise you on making accessible choices, like at times where, well, we have to decide between this tool or this tool. They could help evaluate those for accessibility and help you make those decisions. So there's lots of different ways an accessibility consultant could kind of jump in and help. And I think that's a really great way to get started if you're just completely unfamiliar with accessibility and there's no team knowledge of that within your team. Bringing in somebody from the outside who could provide that training and then provide that process for you is going to end up saving you a lot of time and headache.
Yeah, because once you get an accessibility consultant in, they'll break down your services. They'll give you all the information you need on where accessibility applies and might even offer training for the designers, the developers, the content writers, the copywriters, whatever it is that you have on your team. All right, so where can agency owners at least get started with their current projects?
Yeah, so if you're not sure and you don't want to start messing around on a client project, work on your own website. I know that web agencies tend to not have the best websites because of the saying, the cobbler's children have no shoes, but work on your own website. Do an accessibility audit. Maybe hire that accessibility consultant to come in and show you how you could do some manual testing or help you identify some issues and figure out how to fix them. Start with your own website. Make that accessible first, and that'll teach you a lot about the process. And then that way you're also not, you know, making any false promises that you can't keep to clients or anything like that. It's just your own website. And then you could take the lessons that you learned from that and start incorporating those into client projects afterward.
Mm-hmm. So with that, where can people go to at least get a scan on their website first?
Yeah, come on over to aardvarkaccessibility.com. You can put in the homepage of your own agency website and get a free scan, figure out what all the issues are and some guidance on how you can remediate those.
Yes. So with that, thank you guys for joining us. This is the Aardvark Accessibility Podcast. This is episode 36, and we will talk to y'all next time.